Friends, what a blessing to see all that we are together doing. You just hearing these announcements of life skills, of living authentically, living inspired lives, how to work through difficult conversations. Look at these resources we are blessing each other with, leading us to worship the one true God, filling our hearts with praise, living life on mission globally. Wow. Thank you. Let's come before our Heavenly Father again. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, make us like you. Make us alive again, living wholehearted, full lives, we pray. Amen. I was thinking just in hearing, I think we need to have a little family talk for a minute first. Family meeting. Okay, first things first, Watoto. There was something so wonderful about meeting with our African brothers and sisters. There was an openness in their hearts in the way that they sang, in the way that they danced, in the way that they hugged. Do you know what I mean? Like, did that open your heart? It was another expression, just reminded us who we are, who God has made us to be. That was awesome. And to think that this is a church that is impacting the world globally, I think that is what we're about. That's what we're in the presence of doing. And it's also a church that impacts their world locally. Watoto, in the city of Kampala, in Uganda, is changing the lives of that city through how they're living. And each one of those kids, and all the grown-ups on stage, had either lost one parent or both parents. And their lives were totally changed because of the love of Christ at work in his church. And the local church saying, we're going to do something about this. Wow. Okay, second shirt. Second aspect of the family talk. Yes. I kind of noticed the clap wasn't quite the same. That's interesting. Yeah, that's great. Watoto, they're awesome. Oh, that's going to mean something I have to do. Oh, yeah. Ha ha. You listening, buddy? Yeah, that's right. They want you. Christine and I have come 2.5 years ago, and there was this thriving soccer camp ministry, 100 plus kids each week. This year we had, I don't know, something like 120. Here, untuck that shirt. I like that better. Oh, now it's creased. Don't worry. No one will notice. We came in, and there's this thriving ministry. Barry talked about, wow, putting sports and life change together. Wow. Now, the other piece about this rally downstairs is that this ministry is in a crisis point. We have lost several key leaders, either to it being time to step back or people have moved on. And this has been our church saying we are going to stand and make a difference in our town. Now, over time, what can happen is we tend to rely on a few key people. And really, that's been the story last year of there wasn't enough of us contributing, so a lot of those who were engaged had to do more. Now, this has been a church-wide output, and that's why I think this is some of the absolute best of who we are, because it demands that we do it together, and it also demands that we live into our vision. This is what it means to follow Jesus. It means serving, it means sharing, it means sacrificing. Equipping. In this soccer camp, we learn to love others, we learn to serve others, we learn to share our testimony with others. That sounds what we need to be about. We share the gospel. Every year, there are people who are giving their lives to Christ through our shared communal serving of our town. It's making a difference in our town. We're giving life skills, we're giving soccer skills. We're most ultimately giving the gospel of Jesus Christ to our town. We need to live into this. So it's crisis point. So we have on the table in the back, we have, for those of you who got a runoff and can't go to the rally, there's a, yes, I can do this. What, are you a snack maker? Are you somebody who can run around with the kids? Are you someone who can look tough with security? Are you someone, what can you do? Are you going to be a prayer warrior? This has been something that we as a church have, what was that? It was something. We're going to do this, right? We're going to do this. There's the line in the sand over there. I really want you to consider how, maybe you're new to our midst, but this is about who we are. And if we're going to let this slide, what does that mean? Does that mean because you are so engaged, people are coming to Christ left, right, and center, you don't have time for that one? What kind of sacrifice in the life of Christ is he calling us to? My desire, oh, I woke up a baby, there I go. So here's the rally. You've heard it, and truly, we say this, that our town will flourish. And the most flourishing way for people to flourish is ultimately receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ and living into it. And I think truly, as you sacrifice, as you serve, you're going to flourish. So let's flourish together. Here's the call. Here's the invitation. If you're new to us and you're seeing what this is about, that was our family time, our talk time. And now we're looking to receive from our Lord what he calls us to. And it's all intermingled. Because my question for you today, for us today, is how can we flourish? What does it look like for you to flourish? That's maybe a little more poignant. What does it look like for you to flourish? What does your life look like when you're at your best? I asked this question of a friend at the coffee shop yesterday. Just wonderful time, good camaraderie, wonderful beloved nectar from God, good coffee in my hand. And I asked him, what's it look like in an area of his life? What's thriving look like? And he thought about it and he thought, man, it's tough to think about what flourishing looks like. And then he said, it was funny, he laughed and he said, I can tell you what it doesn't look like. I thought that was great. So to flourish, let me read the definition of flourishing. A person who grows or develops in a healthy or vigorous way. If you're writing this down, let me repeat it. Flourish, a person who grows or develops in a healthy or vigorous way. And the second aspect to it is this, especially as a result of a particularly favorable environment. Especially as a result of a particularly favorable environment. Wild plants flourish on the banks of the lake. To flourish, that was an example. To flourish is to develop rapidly, successfully. To be at the height of one's career was another alternate. And I think maybe on a beyond career, we're thinking bigger than that, to be at the height of one's calling, to live fully into who we are called to be. That is a picture of flourishing. So, let me ask you, are you flourishing? What does it look like for you to flourish? Let me tell you of a moment in my life where it was the exact opposite. I can remember coming home from high school, I think it was grade 12, early in grade 12, I felt very distraught. And the interesting thing is, I can't remember what had taken place, but I remember my interpretation and what I did. I went home, the house. I was alone in the house, I went to the mirror, And I looked at myself in the mirror, and I kind of was shaking, and I kind of screamed at myself, "You are such a loser. You're such a loser, Dave." I felt like I was such a failure. I felt what happened? I know I would have been about my relationships. I would have felt rejected. I would have felt so unworthy and so unloved. I was not flourishing. What does it look like for you to flourish? I wanted to flourish in that moment. Who of you don't want to be flourishing? Like who of you don't want to be at the fullest expression of who you're called to be growing, to be thriving? That's our topic today. So quick recap of what we're doing. We're in the sermon series from the book of 1 Samuel in the Bible, and the series is titled, Who's on the Throne? It's a twofold question. It's a question about the ancient nation of Israel. Who is going to be on the throne? There's this intrigue, this engagement over, should it be God on the throne? We want a king like everybody else. Who's king? Saul's king. David's king. This is the first fold of who's on the throne. The second fold of it is who's on the throne when it comes to your life. When it comes to your heart, as we metaphorically speak of the control center. So often we say, well, we think of the brain, but we say, like, I understand it in my thinking, but I don't understand it in my heart. In the control center, that's the heart. The control center of who you are, what you do, who's on the throne, who's making the decisions, who do we worship, what's most important to us. And just like the throne of the kingship of ancient Israel, who's on the throne is the central question when it comes to flourishing. Flourish or die? Thrive or deteriorate? Last week we talked about the first king of Israel, Saul. We talked about his unaddressed character issues led from a promising beginning to an utter tragic story of his life, a sad deteriorating of his life and his legacy. Saul stands as a model for all of us, as a warning for looking at our issues. I cannot think of anything better for looking at your issues than the Freedom Session course. Man, it's been revealed this year Dave has way more issues than he thought. And then I have experienced the love of God in forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and I've experienced it in person, in small community, in greater community of group, and then small community with a bunch of guys. It's been wonderful. We got the third piece, 8 weeks. We were opening it up to invite you in. This is a new thing in our church. It's a movement of where God is making us more like him to flourish. So I invite you into that every Thursday night for 8 weeks. So it's a 2-month commitment. God has done powerful things, and he is bringing freedom in my life. I invite him to do that in yours. Consider it. We're looking to restart the whole thing again in the fall as well. So, but it could be a great way to get a taste. So, Saul. And in contrast to Saul is the second king, David. And the Hebrew narrators, they don't say exactly how you're supposed to think. They tell you the story. It's so brilliant in how it all unfolds. Like, hey, let's just get two models. A king rejected by God that you chose, a king who was an utter failure. Let me show you the king that I chose. And it's compare and contrast. We learn about who we're called to be by putting them together. Yeah, David has his failures, but he is known as the total contrast. And if you want to engage more, like always, there's the life group questions and personal study questions at the welcome booth based on the sermon series that we're in. So you can find that there. What is the central influence to David's flourishing? What do you think it is? What most influences him to be the greatest king of Israel? Let's say, what's an adjective? Not, what's an adjective that describes him, that describes a noun of what would make him, what's the greatest influence? What is it about him that makes him the greatest king of Israel?
Humility.
Humility, that's a good guess. Hey, I got an actual answer. That's good. What do you think?
Faith. What?
Faith. Can you help me out?
Enthusiasm.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that's good. Enthusiasm, humility, faith. What?
Trust.
So kind of another faith word. Trust. What's the central to his flourishing?
Grace.
Good engagement. I got something different. And yes, the answer is Jesus. But it's what I have this morning is that David flourishes because he is beloved. He is beloved. He is beloved. Beloved is a noun. It's that's who he is. Beloved is the adjective describing himself. It describes the noun. Let me ask, who is beloved in your life? Let me also say that in translations, in different Bibles, it will interchange between loved, beloved, and dear friends. Like in the New Testament, it'll say, dear friends, who's a dear friend? Who's somebody who, when it comes to your life, a mentor, a family member, a friend, that for you, your heart is, just feels totally safe. You treasure this relationship. Who is beloved in your life? Where are we going this morning? This twofold aspect is to come to see that the secret to David's success is in his identity and environment of being beloved, the beloved. It defines his life. It influences his life. The second aspect of where we're going, and my prayer for each one of you here this morning and anyone listening online in the future, this is my prayer for you. You'll come to see that the central greatest influence for you to flourish is for you to know that you are beloved. David flourishes because he is beloved. And you will flourish because you are God's beloved. You're his beloved. Sorry, I knew I was going to confuse it at one point. You are his beloved. You are beloved. If you've accepted Jesus Christ to the throne, this into your heart, the center of your being, you will always have him because he is going to be there for you in any situation, now and in eternity. So I can clearly say that you are going to flourish no matter what. You will flourish because you are beloved. Do you know that you are going to flourish? Like, there's no option here. You will flourish because you are beloved. Let's look at David, part one. David flourishes because he is beloved. Interwoven into the life of David is that he is known for being beloved. I never really saw this for so many years, and I really feel like this week has been really, God's just been opening this up in my heart and my life to open this up for all of us. I'm still coming to terms with all of what this means. But, okay, first greatest influencer in his life is obviously God. We talked about Jesus. So 2 Samuel 7, I know I reached out of 1 Samuel into 2 Samuel, but 7:11-15, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. This is the ultimate promise of promises when it comes to the king of Israel and anyone. He says, God, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is God speaking to David. No other king gets this promise. I will be, God continues, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, when he messes up, I'll discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him. God declares his love for David. As I took from Saul, let me read it again. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. But God promises, unlike Saul, my steadfast love will never depart from you, David. Also of significance in God's relationship with David in Samuel, 2 Samuel 16:1, I've provided for myself a king. Saul was Israel's king, but David was God's choice. 1 Samuel 18:14, the core of this whole message is 1 Samuel 18. David continued to succeed in everything he did. Why? Because the Lord was with him. So, yes, he flourishes because the central influencer is God. The central influence, I'm saying, is that he is beloved first by God. But look throughout this whole chapter. You start going, wow. The prince, okay, God, the prince, the princess, the people, they're all noted for what? For loving David. This is the key to everything for David. The prince, Jonathan, 1 Samuel 18:1. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. He loved him. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David. So he's essentially, as heir to the throne, and we're going to get into this in a few weeks, gives him the robe that shows you're heir to the throne. Jonathan steps aside out of love for David. Not only that, out of his love, he delivers David from death. He gives away the plans of his dad, the king, who wants to kill him. Okay, the prince, the princess, Michal. I don't know how to say it. Michal, we're going with that today. Saul gave him his daughter, Michal, for a wife. It sounds like a French accent versus Hebrew, I don't know. Michal. But when Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, that's in there. And who also delivers David from death? The princess, Michal, she makes sure he gets away. Okay, there's that part. And flip the page, the people, the whole nation loves him. 1 Samuel 18:16. When Saul saw that he had great success, he stood in fearful awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them. The people take David and they launch him into greatness. They make him king. Are you convinced? Do you buy that the central identifying marker of David's life is that he is beloved? That he's beloved? Do you buy it? What are names? Names for us are identity markers, right? Well, even more so for ancient Israelites. What's the name of Saul? Saul's name means asked for. What's his story? You guys asked for a king, here's Saul, asked for. Peter, remember how Simon the disciple gets renamed? Jesus renames him. No, your name's Peter. It means rock, as in rockhead. No, rock, as in you are the rock on which I will build my church. What does Jesus' name mean? The Lord saves. Savior. Who is Jesus? He is the Savior. So what does David's name mean? Beloved. Have you seen this before? This is the secret to everything for David. This is why he flourishes. It's because of the love of all those around him that he encounters. This man is a blessed man. The love of God, the love of the people, the love of the prince, the princess. He is not who he is or who he becomes without the love of all those around him. It is the secret to his flourishing. Second fold. Do you in your heart know that you are beloved? Do you know that this is an identity marker for you? There's Greek and Hebrew words I could tell you about, but it means that you're dearly loved. And throughout the New Testament, let me just tell you about it. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God sent him not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Why? Because he loves you. He loves us. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. Romans 1:7. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:12. Put on them as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Throughout the New Testament, the church keeps calling the church as brothers and sisters. What do they call them? Beloved, dear friends. Let me ask you, do you treat those throughout this fellowship as beloved? Sometimes we can tragically fall off, I don't know, the horse, and all of a sudden there's your people you like and people you don't like. That doesn't fit here. We're a body. We're a family. We're brothers and sisters. Every single person in this room should be treated as beloved because that's who they are, and that's who we are, and that's how we should treat each other. That's our identity marker. The tragedy is that we don't. The tragedy is that we don't accept God's marker for our lives, that you are God's beloved. Instead, we take our cues from the world, like ancient Israel did. We continually mess up. Oh, that's nice that God says I'm his beloved, but what really matters is how much money I got in my bank account. What really matters is that this person likes me. What really matters is the position I have. No, it doesn't. That's not the defining marker. When it comes to Monday morning, do you wake up knowing I am beloved? No matter what happens, I am God's beloved. I am treasured. When you go into all that happens in the week, this is where fear gets in check, where anxiety gets checked at the door, where our anger towards others gets checked at the door. Beloved, this is our identity. They will know we are Christians by our love. So when something's, this is where God ministers to us through his word. This is why the very fact that you're here listening matters greatly. Your presence here matters because we are to take our whole cues on life and our identity from God, not any other marker. And when you know that you are beloved, looking at David's life, looking at the New Testament, looking at others' lives around us, you're going to flourish. I know it. I ultimately know eternally you're going to flourish. Eternity has already begun. You're living into it now. So let's embrace this. Let's not wait for later. Let's let this be our identity marker. Think through the great truths of what this means. When I got so upset, my identity marker that people had told me that I interpreted was that I was a loser. The ultimate insult for me at that time, that I was unvaluable, that I was worthless. There came this point in college where my whole life changed because instead of myself being on the throne of my heart and looking great and getting respect and admiration and whatever, I said, okay, God, I've been on the throne too long. It's time for you to be on the throne. I want all that you have for me. And my life has changed. My heart has changed. And it's not because of who I am. It's because of what Christ has done in me. If you met my Sunday school teacher from high school, she would have some stories. It is amazing. And it's what, and there's so many ways where I don't even grasp what my name means. I don't even grasp this new life that I have. The old Dave is gone because there's no someone new at the center of me. And he pronounces over me, beloved. And that means that everything that flows out is different. It's not just Dave anymore. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. He gave himself for me because he loves me. This is my new marker. And church, as I'm telling you, I need to hear it. I need to hear it from you. I need to experience it from you because I keep looking at the world. I keep looking at the giants. And I, being together as the body, this is just what, this is why we gather as the church of what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to sing over each other, beloved. We're supposed to sing over each other. What difference, why we're here. The world says we're crazy. Like how? But when you encounter the love of God, when Jesus calls your name, it changes everything. And we are regularly tempted to step aside from that, but hear the call of God over your life again. That you are beloved. May it go with you into high school. May it go with you into college. May it go with you into your workplace. May it go with you into your homemaking. May it go with you into your grandparenting. May it go with you into your supervising, into seeing your patients, working with your clients, and working with your boss, and working with your colleagues. When you're outdoors, may it go with you everywhere that you are God's beloved. Have you heard from him this morning? Has he ministered to you? Let's respond in prayer and worship. Lord, it's amazing we can read these scriptures so many times and not see it. The secret of all of what led to David's flourishing was love. It defined his life. And how is it we've lived all these days and we keep getting off track and not recognizing this, the secret to our lives, to truly flourishing, growing, being all that we're called to be, is accepting your love and letting it just define us, to mark us, that this is our new identity in Christ, beloved. Lord, we praise your name, oh God. Words can't express. Song helps. Confession helps. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've made of this life, for the ways that I've ignored you as God and put others on the throne of my life, putting health at the throne of my life, putting anything at the throne of my life. Only you on the throne is where I find my fullest meaning. And I'm sorry for the ways where that has not been true, and I repent of it again today. And I do it because you tell me to repent and believe. The kingdom of God is at hand, and we have encountered the kingdom of a God at hand here today. And we praise you, God, because we ask that your rule of your kingdom will go forth. Yes, there's people to love, but it all starts with us and you, to know that we are your beloved. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. Wow, we thank you, Jesus. It's in your wonderful, remarkable name that we pray. Amen.